بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. We recited tonight the 25th juz of the Quran. In the opening discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights some of the weaknesses of man. Often we say none can understand a human better than his own biological mother. The very woman that bore him, conceived him, nurtured him, she understands the nature of that child, that human, very well and aptly. And who better can describe man other than the very being who created us, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the entire Quran, in different places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights different weaknesses of man. And in the verses recited today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسأم الإنسان من دعاء الخير وإن مسه الشر فيئوس قنوط. Strange is the nature of man. He never tires asking good. He never tires asking prosperity. It's not like that, Allah, you know, you've given me. My brother says it, and I've heard it from him, and you know, it's food for thought. Sometimes a beggar comes, and then you give him some charity. And then ask yourself, with that simple, basic, lousy two rand that you give, how many things you ask Allah? And then you start asking, am I so greedy? Allah, cure this one. Allah, rescue my child. Allah, let his exams go well. Allah, give me barakat in my health. Allah, allow this to happen. Is this out of a turan? Is this out of a turan you're asking you, Allah? He's very kind and he's limitless and his mercy is infinite. It's not a wrong thing to do. But look at the greed. Look at the greed out of that. And sometimes it's not even a turan. You know, the other day I went to buy something with a heater, you fill in your gas tank. And I previously paid 200 rand for it. And this time I went with the same intention of paying a 200, that's what I had previously paid. And suddenly I was told it was 190. So now 10 rand unexpected came. So I thought to myself, this is something that I had not planned for. Why not give it to the man who's carrying the tank? You don't anticipate it, but when it comes back, you become so possessive over it. You get so gripped over it. According to your plan and your knowledge, you didn't anticipate this money. Yet when it comes as a bonus, You're reluctant to release it. This unfortunately is the nature of man. لا يسأم الإنسان من دعاء الخير. He never tires asking health, wealth, prosperity. That's the one side of it. The flip side of it is, وَإِن مَسَّهُ الشَّرْ فَيَؤُوسٌ قَنُوتٌ. And let the slightest difficulty come upon him, and then he starts moaning and groaning, and despondency grips him completely. And he starts despairing. فَيَأُوسٌ قَنُوتٌ. Now he's moaning and groaning. So he had a life of 50 years of health and wealth and prosperity. He passed away at the age of 55. The last 5 years of his life was a bit turbulent. There was turmoil. How's it? Hey, Allah knows best. Allah tests the good servants, as they say. Been through a lot in my life. 50 years of prosperity against 5 years of difficulty. And this is not any person, I'm talking of every one of us. Look into ourselves, this is our weakness. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, وَإِن مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَيَؤُوسٌ قَنُوتٌ وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتْهُ لَيَقُولَنَّ هَذَا لِي. Look, both his situations are not what is expected. When we favor man, he's supposed to be grateful. When we test man, he's supposed to persevere and endure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the difficulty, we then favor him with some ease, and there's an opening, and there's some prosperity that comes. Now comes the flavor of arrogance. Now comes the flavor of arrogance. It's very human. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ رَحْمًا. And if we privilege him with ease and prosperity, post-adversity, لَيَقُولَنَّ هَذَا لِي. He says, this is not a boon. This is a due that's owed to me. In fact, it came late. Some say it with their tongue, others with their body language. Others with their body language. لَيَقُولَنَّ هَذَا لِي. This is right for me. I anticipate that it's mine. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتْهُ لَيَقُولَنَّ هَذَا لِي. And as I mentioned previously, now from his pride and his arrogance, it escalates. وَمَا أَذُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. Suddenly the tone changes completely. The tone changes completely. This Qiyamah story doesn't make a reality to me. It doesn't gel with my logic. وَلَئِن رُجِعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And if I'm returned to my Allah, then I am optimistic I will have much more than what I have in this world. Again, Allah continues, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِهِ When I favor him, I endow him, أَعْرَضَ He turns his back to me. وَنَآ بِجَانِبِهِ And he becomes proud and arrogant. وَلَئِن مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيدٍ And again, if I bring a difficulty thereafter, after all his arrogance, I drop him with one test, one difficulty. Suddenly he's making long du'as. Suddenly, these are the exact words. فَذُو دُعَاءٍ He is the maker of supplication. He supplicates. Arid means broad. The scholars say Allah didn't say long, Allah said broad. To indicate the intensity of his prayer and reflect his desperation. So the tragic situation is that in all the situations, how he's supposed to turn to Allah, he doesn't turn to Allah. In prosperity, it is gratitude. In adversity, is perseverance. Yeah, he becomes arrogant and he becomes despondent. Both of which is disliked and abhorred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, Allah reminds us about His greatness and His magnanimity and His supremacy. Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ We will continue displaying before them. Look at the phrase of the Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ We will continue showing them, displaying before them, the symbols of our greatness on the horizons, in the earth, in different, you know, development and understanding and scientific breakthrough. And that is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, فِيهِ عِلْمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخَرِينَ وَلَكِنْ تَقَاسَرَ عَنْهُ أَفْهَامُ النَّاسِ That the Quran possesses the knowledge of the past and the future, is just that human intellect is evolving gradually to appreciate what had been contained 1400 years ago. As they make a breakthrough in science, they realize this indication and subtle hint was found before. But till they don't make the breakthrough and they don't explore the planets, they don't appreciate كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ Every planet floating in its orbit for which Allah created. These are terminologies astronomy put before us when they reached out there. But the Quran had long discussed it. So we continue to display before them our signs in the horizons. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ And even in their own selves. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ Until the matter becomes crystal clear that Allah is the absolute truth and the Quran, there is no doubt in it. In fact, in the 26th juz in Surah Dhariyat, Allah says it so beautifully, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ What an amazing parable. Allah said the Quran is a truth. It is an absolute truth, just like your speech is a reality. The scholars explained, look at the parable of the Quran. I could be seen and I could be confused. No. Am I seen correct? Am I not seen correct? Is there something obscuring my view? Okay, wait, I'm not too sure. Am I hearing a faint voice or am I not hearing? There's uncertainty. You never heard, am I talking? No, am I not talking? No, I'm talking. There's nothing like that. There's doubt in my sight. There's doubt in my hearing. Am I assuming? Am I thinking? Am I hearing? But did you ever say a person, am I talking? No, I'm not talking. No, the speech is an absolute reality. When I utter, I know I speak. The Quran says, just as you have the conviction that you're speaking, when you utter, equally is the conviction that the Quran is the word of Allah. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ So Allah will continue showing, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ Until they realize and discover that the Quran is the absolute truth. Thereafter, we discuss Surah Shura. Shura refers to mutual consultation, and obviously there are relevant ayat to this. But prior to that, there is a verse there on the top of the page in Surah Shura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah is فَاطِر. In the Arabic language, in the Quran, Allah has used the word خَالِق. Allah has used the word فَاطِر. Allah has used the word بَدِيع. The common denominator between the three is commonly translated as creator. But if you do etymology on the word and you dissect the word, you will appreciate there are fine lines between the three. So, badi' means one who innovates. One who innovates. Bada'a. One is bada'a to start, one is bada'a, which means new. Khalaq means idatu shay'i min al-adam, to bring into existence something from nothing. Hence, you can call man a maker, you cannot call man a creator, because he's dependent on raw materials. But Allah creates without raw materials. فَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The one who initiated the formation of the heavens and the earth. That is why Allah poses the question, أَمْ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ Is it that your false deities have also created a heaven and an earth similar to the creation of Allah? And now you are perplexed at the level of creation that you have to compare to decide which is the greater being. Am khalaqu, have they created ka khalqihi, like the creation of Allah? فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ, so the matter of creation has left you confused and you make in comparison. قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, refute it and say Allah is the absolute, the sovereign creator. So Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, he created for you from amongst yourselves spouses. وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا, and Allah created from the animal kingdom pairs. يَذْرَأُكُمْ فِي, Allah Ta'ala then scattered you on the earth. In the footnotes of Jalalain under this ayah, there is a beautiful incident written that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, then Allah created from his Rab Hawa alayhi salam. And the scholars say Allah didn't create from the head that she dominates, nor from the feet that Adam overpowers. But Allah created from the side, it's a mutual coexistence. And together they will walk in this earth, and together they will travel, and together they will help and aid and assist one another. That is the nature and the subtle indication from the manner in which Allah created Hawa alayhi salam. By the way, Hawa is referred to as Hawa لأنها خلقت من حي. Hawa means to be created from the living. This is the beauty of the Arabic language. It's only a person who has been exposed to its beauty to appreciate. By way of example, we refer to the sitr in the Quran. Allah refers to the sitr, the private organ of a person, as sawat. فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا, Adam and Hawa ate from the forbidden tree. فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا, their evil area got exposed. That's the face translation, that's the literal translation. The connotations, the indications are their private area. Why is the sitr area referred to as the evil area? لِأَنَّ إِنْكِشَافَهُ يَسُوءُ صَاحِبُهُ, because its exposure is considered evil to people of understanding and saying, understand logic. Look at the beauty and the subtle hint. And whatever Adam did is instinctive. So when they ate from the forbidden tree, they were deprived of the garment of Jannah. فَطَفِقَا يَخْسِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ, immediately their instinct kicked in. Their instinct kicked in and they started taking the leaves of the tree without anyone telling them, and they started covering themselves. They started shielding themselves. They started concealing themselves. Sahaba was so modest, the concluding verses of the 11th juz, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ يَثْنُونَ صُدُورَهُمْ لِيَسْتَغْفُوا مِنْ أَلَا حِينَ يَسْتَغْشُونَ ثِيَابَهُمْ. Many a Sahaba, in privacy, in seclusion, in isolation, when they would change their clothing, out of the level of modesty for the Creator above, they would bow down. When they would remove their clothing, absolute isolation and seclusion, but the fact that I'm exposed to Allah, so they would bow down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then freed them, and Allah said, there is no need to exercise such stringent levels of modesty in seclusion. After all, even your clothing cannot veil the eye of Allah. But suffice to say, what is the modesty of a Muslim? What is the nature of a Muslim? How modest our teachings are. And it's very important that we understand and we implement this. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for Adam alayhi salam a spouse. مَدَّ يَدَهُ إِلَيْهَا, instinctively Adam alayhi salatu wa salam then stretched his hand towards her. So the angel said, مَهْ يَا Adam. Adam, hang on, she is yours, but till you don't discharge your dowry, she is forbidden. You have to discharge your dowry and then she will be lawful, permissible and legitimate for you. So Adam alayhi salam is in Jannah. Obviously you offer dowry in relation to where you are. We know they talk of the culture, and a lot of people give a lot of cows, and I don't know, it's a long story that goes on, and many parts of the Arab world, exorbitant amounts are asked, and obviously the Prophet ﷺ exhorted a woman to take minimum dowry, but if she asks for more, it's totally within her right. We know Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu ascended the pulpit, and he said, لا تغالوا في مهور النساء, don't give this exaggerated and exorbitant amounts of dowry. So a woman stands up in the congregation, and this was the transparency that the head of state was subjected to. Said, Umar, do we listen to you or do we listen to Allah? Umar, do we comply with you or do we comply to what Allah says? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, unpack that for me, sister, elucidate. She said, the Quran makes us subtle. Look at the level of jurisprudic understanding of an average woman. This is an average woman in the community. She's not studying under any great scholar or anything, but her understanding, because the message in the Quran comes in an hint and an insinuation. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. If for whatever reasons you dissolve a relation and you take another wife and you had given wife number one a great treasure as dowry, don't claim it back. So the subtle indication paves the way for the possibility of a treasure to be given as a dowry. So she picks up and she deduces strength from this. Umar radiallahu anhu said, أصابت امرأة وأخطأ عمر كل واحد أفقه من عمر. A woman has uttered the truth, and once again Umar has erred. Nay, I don't think it would be wrong to say every child is more learned than Umar. Every child. This wasn't, you know, okay, I'm useless, right? You're good, you're happy. No, not that attitude. You know, not that attitude. When we say that, we're trying to provoke the opposite reaction. No, you, my brother, Allah, but even a malaika kiss your feet, man. What do you mean you're a nothing? Nothing is me, man. You don't know how to spell nothing. We try and create the opposite reaction. That's our nature. That's our psychology. You know, because when we say, you know what, this humble servant, then one day when you meet the brother, say, hey, humble servant. Sorry, I have a name, my brother. Oh, you made reference to yourself with that. Ah, I just said it. I don't mean it. Oh, okay. All right. So then why did you say it? So Adam alayhi salam said, oh my Lord, what do I offer? I'm in paradise. Is it the rivers? Is it the palace? It's in Sawi, in Hasha of Jalalain. Allah said to Adam via the malaika, hatta tusalli ala Muhammadin thalatha marrat. Your dowry to your wife Hawa is, you will invoke salutations on the paragon of my creation Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wa salam 3 times. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik wa zid wa tarahham wa tahannan ala habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa atba'ihi wa dhurriyatihi ajma'in. 3 times durood and salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This will be your dowry. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one of the very comprehensive ayah of the Quran has discussed in the 25th juz today. Ibn Kathir says the like of this injunction is only found in ayat al-Kursi, and there's no other ayah like this, and that was recited in Surah Shura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives 10 injunctions, and this is very imperative when we're having a dialogue. When we're having a dialogue and we're communicating, and if it's a debate, then these are key components to guide us in how we should conduct ourselves. فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَادْعُوا. The first command of Allah, invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the command, the injunction, the obligation upon every person to invite towards Allah. Obviously, there is a manner in which we conduct ourselves with wisdom, with diplomacy, euphemism, using the correct measures, polite tenderness, as taught to us by the model of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَادْعُوا. Number one, invite towards Allah. Number two, وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. واستقيم. One of the most daunting injunctions in Islam, واستقيم كما أمرت, and remain steadfast as you've been instructed to do so. Sahaba said, بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنشط والمكره. We had pledged allegiance to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم when we were active and able, and equally when we were weak and feeble. You know, hey, today I had a bad day, I had a lazy day, man. Today, inshallah, next week, double. No, my friend, it doesn't work like that. Bayana Rasulullah ala al-manshati wal-makra. When situations are conducive and when situations are against us, when we are active, when we are energetic, when we are stimulated, and when we are weak and we are feeble. Every human has fluctuations, and today we have erratic fluctuations. One minute, you know what, you wish you die. The next minute, you wish, I hope I don't go now. Things are just coming right. You know what, I hope I don't go now. Things are just footing into place and everything. It's one deal that got back on track, and now again, your hopes are on track. And when things were just falling off the balance, and then you were saying, you know what, hey man, I can't see myself lasting for long. So that's how erratic our fluctuations are. Wastaqim, to persevere. Kama umir. Someone came and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for advice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qul amantu billah. Say, I brought iman on Allah and then diligently comply to the dictates of that proclamation. You know how voluminous is that statement? Amantu billah. It's a life-altering statement. Nakahtuha. How much that alters your life? What a life-altering statement that is. You lose your bachelor's degree, as they say, and she gets her master's. Nakahtuha. Where are you going? It's a function. In-laws, man. Make dua. Make dua. Hey, but you are a free man. One of my teachers got married on the very same day when India, you know, got its independence many years later. He said, the nation was liberated and I was enslaved. Mulk azad hua, main ghulam bana. These were his words. The nation became liberated, I became a slave. One word, nakahtuha. Nakahtuha. What's the finer print of that? Not the bold print. Bold print is I got a woman, my brother. I'm talking of the finer print. The reverse side. Read on the inside there. This medicine can cause diarrhea, nauseating. It can cause this here, headaches. Scientifically, it has proven this. It's a long story. That's that one. My brother, amantu billah is also a life-altering statement. I've said this here. I've contracted myself with Allah. Wastaqim, persevere kama umirta, as you've been instructed. When the Sahaba said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we tend to cite some white strands of hair. He said, yes, it is Surah Hud. It is Surah Hud that makes my hair white. And in Surah Hud, the injunction of perseverance on the command of Allah, that in particular has made my hair white. That in particular has made my hair white, because this is a very great command to persevere at every time. Wastaqim kama umir, the third injunction. Ibn Kathir said this ayah is unique in the Quran. If you want to find a similar example of this here, it is Surah, it is Ayatul Kursi, there's no other verse of its nature. Meaning comprehensive and voluminous. Barely three lines, but 10 injunctions. Wastaqim kama umir, wa la tattabi' ahwa'ahum. And don't succumb to the whims and the fancies and the desires of the enemies of Islam. Remember, there are two things. One is guidance and one is corruption. The definition of guidance is that I adjust my life to suit divine orders of Allah. So I schedule or I reschedule or I change my program. I'll sleep at this time. I'll awaken at that time. I'll have a meeting at this time. We'll fly on that day because I've got to respect my Jummah. I've got to accommodate my iftar. I've got to be sensitive to my Eid. That is the definition of guidance. Reverse the whole thing. I start tempering with divine guidance, where we can work around the situation. There is a stratagem here. There is a stratagem. There is a loophole. We can manipulate this year. Fasting, we can push this year. Namaz, we can adjust this year. Iftar, we'll do this year. When we start tempering with divine guidance to suit ourselves, that is the definition of corruption. The Quran said, وَلَوِتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. The recipe for disaster, the formula for destruction is when they subject divine law to suit their temperaments. They start tempering with divine law. Manipulate this, adjust this, turn this here. And remember, it's a gradual process. Today you delayed one salah. Tomorrow you said this. Then you discarded that. Then you neglected that. And before you realize, there is nothing left with the sharia. The very famous incident of Sheikh Saadi rahmatullah alayh. He gives these examples and they're very thought-provoking and they stimulate great reflection. And many a mystics have mentioned this in their discourses. So the gentleman goes for the tattoo and he wants the tattoo of a lion imprinted. Now we know it's quite an excruciating process. It's quite a painful process in addition to the monetary connotations of it. I told you that I had read an article many years ago of a person who wanted to surprise his wife on her anniversary or her birthday. So he had her tattoo put on his back. He went through the pain and everything. It cost him an arm and a leg on his back, and it was really expensive. Only to know that she eloped before her birthday. Now, to take it out is painful, to leave it is painful. Can you imagine that challenge? Getting rid of it's a painful process. Leaving it on, it's a painful process. And there's money implications both ways. Anyway, this person went, Sheikh Saadi says, and he said he wanted a lion tattoo on his back. So he went to the person. We know obviously tattoos. La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-washimat wal-mustawshimat al-wasilat wal-mustawsilat. it's totally forbidden and there's no room for this in Islam. The Quran speaks about one of the vows that the devil had made, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, that I will inject such an urge in man that I will make every one of him desirous to change the appearance that Allah has decided for him. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ, I will instruct mankind. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, they will start tempering with their appearance. They will start changing their appearance. You don't know the color, you don't know the nationality, and many times you don't know the gender. You don't know the gender also, such is the nature of the, you know, tempering with what Allah has given us and Allah has ordained upon us and Allah has decided for us. Many years ago I read an article that in Queensland, girls at the age of 6 were interviewed. And they said, we're not happy with our figure. Now we taught a girl at the age of 6, all she knows is to play mummy, mummy, and hold a doll and push her pram. But society and the cosmetic world has created such a consciousness that a girl at the age of 6 is saying, I am not pleased with my figure. Imagine the society whose building blocks are this. What's the outcome of that society? Be it as it may, he goes. So the man starts with a tattoo, he starts with a tail. Oh, that's painful, man. Oh, I'm okay with a lion without a tail. Okay, that's fine, no problem. We move on to the face. Ah, you know what? You can make me a blind lion, man. You don't need the eyes and everything. He goes to the leg. Ah, leave that leg, man. I got a crippled lion. I'm okay. Sheikh Sadi says, a lion without a leg, a lion without a tail, a lion without a face, is that a lion? When Allah Ta'ala told you, veil your woman, you said, that's too challenging, that's cumbersome, that's burdensome. When Allah Ta'ala told you to discharge your zakat, you said, that's a financial exploitation, that's too difficult. When Allah Ta'ala told you to observe the fast, you said, that's too long. Just as there's no lion without a tail and a leg and a face, there's no Islam without modesty and compliance and obedience. What lion are you coming back with? It's the name of a lion, there's nothing. Every issue, every command, every injunction you have an issue. Allah says this, it's a problem. Allah says this, it's an issue. So what Islam remains? So, wastaqim kama umirta wa la tattabi' ahwa'ahum. Don't follow their base desires. Because they used to come all the time. And you know, it continues how the devil will come in what areas. So they said, i'ti bi Qur'anin ghayri hadha aw baddil. Can you just change this Quran? And if you can't change this Quran, replace this Quran. قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي. I don't have the prerogative of deciding what and how. That's the choice of Allah. وَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابِ. And say, I have accepted all the divine scriptures in its original, unadulterated version. Pure, pristine, as revealed by Allah. Not tempered or tainted with man. In its unadulterated version, I have accepted all divine scripture. وَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ. And this is the all-embracing nature of Islam. We need to know these basic facts. A Christian in today's time is accepted into Christianity if he doesn't accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his Nabi. But if you study original, pure original Christianity, when they accepted Iman on their Nabi, then their Nabi also told them to bring Iman on the final Prophet that is to come. But in today's world, this is how they perceive it. But as a Muslim, I'm not a Muslim until I don't accept. We make the brother read the Shahada, and he says, "Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir." We embrace the entire galaxy of prophets. So I embrace and accept all the divine scriptures. Wa umirtu li'a'dila baynakum. And I have been instructed to execute justice amongst you. Again, one of the most comprehensive terminologies used in the Quran is the word justice. You must see how the scholars have elaborated on the phrase adl, adl and justice. There is justice between me and my Allah. There is justice between me and fellow humans. There is justice between me and my partner. There is justice between me and fellow humans. And I have to thread the fine line to maintain that justice. So a person comes to meet Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu during his period of office. They say, where is your office and where is your Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says, there he's sleeping beneath the tree. That's the parliament building. You can meet him there. Anyway, he comes to Umar radiallahu anhu. You know, the awe of Umar. How often it was, when Umar would look immediately, the person would tremble. This person was a delegate from a disbeliever, non-Muslim country he came. But he said three amazing words to Umar. He said, عَدَلْتَ فَنِمْتَ عَدَلْتَ فَنِمْتَ Umar radiallahu anhu, you executed justice. عَدَلْتَ فَأَمِنْتَ فَنِمْتَ عَدَلْتَ فَأَمِنْتَ فَنِمْتَ You executed justice, so peace reigns in your land, so you can sleep openly. This is the beauty of justice. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ And this is the beauty of the Quran. The Quran, where it condemns the wrongs of other people, it equally highlights the good of other people. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ Amongst the people of the book, there are those that are honest and transparent, loyal and faithful. Leave a treasure with them and they will give it to you. Mr. Muhammad, here's your money back. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ But there are others, leave a lousy dinar and you'll never get it back. I'm saying the beauty of Islam is, where it condemns the wrong of its foe, it equally highlights the good of its foe. That is justice. لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا Let not the enmity of a nation provoke you to injustice. Let there be justice on all fronts. We mustn't get overpowered by emotions. We mustn't become biased. We mustn't become prejudiced. We must be objective. Khubayb radiallahu anhu is going to be executed tomorrow because he killed one of the members in the battle, in one of the battles. So while he is in captivity, and the next day is his execution, one of the girls from the capturer's children run into the lap of Khubayb. A child doesn't understand all this here. These are boundaries that we create for the child. The child runs and sits down in the lap of Khubayb. Who is the enemy? The mother comes out of the house and immediately Khubayb sees panic on that mother's face. Look at where my child is sitting. Tomorrow that man, we're going to kill him. What's going to stop him from killing the child today? Khubayb radiallahu anhu, seeing the facial expressions of that woman, he said, sister, I know you'll be executing me tomorrow, but my Islam doesn't advocate to me cruelty to this child today. He embraces the child. This child's father will be executing me tomorrow. The beauty of my deen is justice to this child. This child is innocent. This child is harmless. This child is defenseless. And what crime has this child done to me? وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ To strike the fine line in all our relations. It's a very fine line and it's not easy. To maintain that justice, this is very important. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ اللَّهُ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ Allah is our Lord. اللَّهُ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ I will have to face and contend with my actions and you will have to contend with your actions. لَا حُجَّةَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ The matter is clear. Islam has been conveyed. There is now no room for argument. There is no room for argument. The Quran speaks about different people who have argued. There are those who argue with proof. There are those who argue with some, you know, research. But then you have those people, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ You know, some people, they're well-traveled. Globe-trotter. So he's really traveled the world. So whoever he meets wants to put up an argument to impress the fact that he's traveled. Then you have the other guy who's well-read. He's well-read. Self-tutored, self-opinionated, but he's well-read. So he likes to impress a mark in any gathering. He wants to put a point forward. He needs to make his presence. Why? Because he's well-read. And he might have a leg to stand on, maybe flimsy, but perhaps we'll give him a leg to stand on. Then you get Mr. Gentleman who knows nothing. He who knows not and knows not, he knows not, he's a fool. Abstain from him. Him. He who knows not and knows not, he knows not. He who knows not and knows not, he knows not. What we call jahle murakkab, combined ignorance. He's ignorant over the fact that he's ignorant. He who knows and knows not, he knows. He is a wise man, seek him. He who knows but knows not, he knows. Meaning he grew up in a good home where good values were instilled. But he never thinks much of him. But when he speaks, pearls of wisdom. He's a wise man, seek him. But we're talking of number one, he who knows not. And knows not, he knows not. He's a fool, abstain from him. The Quran says, these are those people, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ He doesn't have logical deductions. He doesn't have knowledge of the scriptures, nor he has any divine knowledge to base his arguments on, and he wants to argue with the deen. So, لا حجة بيننا وبينكم. There's no room for argument. The matter is complete. It's a closed shop. Everything has been said. What's there to argue? الله يجمع بيننا. Allah will unite us. My concluding remarks to any person when I have a discussion, and if it gets heated and we don't break through and we don't make any inroads, I say to him, listen, let's leave on this note here. You pray to the divine being, whatever you choose to call him. I'm going to say Allah, if you call him divine being, God, Lord, whatever you're comfortable. You say to him, guide me to the correct religion. I have no doubt, if you are honest in your heart, the Quran says, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Two things we recited today. Allah guides two people. One is whomsoever he chooses. And that's his sheer mercy, and none can question him. But his kindness, he never denies the sincere seeker. He never denies the sincere seeker. One is his sheer mercy, he selects. And that's his choice, and that's his liberty. That's his perfect right. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha. He selects someone as a prophet, someone as a guide, someone as a scholar. That's the kindness, the boon, the mercy of Allah. But the equal side of it is justice is, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. He never denies the sincere seeker. So I'm comfortable if you're honest and you're earnest, you're sincere, and you're not biased and you're not prejudiced, and you say, God, Lord, the divine being, guide me, soon you will find your way. And Salman Farsi, الباحث عن الحق, who enjoys the accolade, the searcher for truth, and see from where he went till finally his eyes fell on the greatest human, and he was crowned with the noble company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the pious, and that links up to Surah Shura. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ. The pious are those who abstain from major sins. The subtle indication is that obviously they commit minor sins because they are humans. But like I always say, a believer is one who never plans a sin, he succumbs to a sin. If you're planning a sin, that's not the quality of a believer. I'm afraid the alarm bells are ringing. We are into danger zone. If I'm consciously saying I'm getting up 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, oh boy, it's time you check the levels of Iman. But if I've set it for 4 o'clock and I overslept, there is room and we can identify with that here. That is human. You can err, you can oversleep. A believer is one who never orchestrates a sin, is one who never strategizes a sin, is one who never devises an evil plot. He succumbs to situation. He gets caught up with environment. He becomes a victim of circumstances, and Allah save and guide one and all. So, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ. They abstain from major sins, وَالْفَوَاحِشِ, and immorality. The scholars say immorality is included under the heading of major sins, but due to its evil nature, Allah gave it independent mention. Otherwise, it goes without saying immorality. If you study the destruction of the various nations, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's nation, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Saleh alayhi salam, each nation had their independent crime coupled with disbelief. But Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's nation suffered the greatest consequences because their sin was to do with immorality. The torments that Allah put upon them, فَطَمَسْنَا أَعْيُنَهُمْ, we blinded them. صَبَّحَهُمْ بُكْرَةً عَذَابٌ مُسْتَقِرٌ, they were seized in the early morning with a divine torment. أَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً, we rained stones upon them. جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا, we toppled the nation. Five divine torments came on this year, which was exclusive to them. This is not found on the nation of Nuh alayhi salam. This is not found with other nations. Why? Their nature was to do with immorality. Those youth who came to their house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinded. They came with evil advancement towards the malaika. وَجَاءَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ, because the angel came in the form of handsome lads. قَالَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ ضَيْفِي فَلَا تَفْضَحُونَ. Lut alayhi salam said, display respect. You know, when you think what a Nabi goes through, man, wallahi, it is only the bosom of a Nabi. It is only the capacity of a Nabi. It's only the vessel of a Nabi. It takes the shoulders of a Nabi. Every person puts up an act when they are visitors, and we show this good, happy, united family. And imagine the Nabi of Allah, and he receives these malaika, and his nation come and make lustful advancement to the malaika. And he intercedes to them that respect the fact that these are my visitors. So what's the audacity? How do they retort? قَالُوا أَوَلَمْ نَنْهَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. You know we have this problem. Why do you invite handsome people home? You know we have this problem. You should be sensitive to our weakness. قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. Here are my daughters. Here are my daughters if you intend anything objective. Allah then swears an oath on the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَعَمْرُكْ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear on your being, these people were intoxicated in their vice, drowned in their deviation. So the first thing is to abstain from major sins. Then the Quran says immorality. What are the two building blocks of a Muslim community? The two key components, the cornerstone of a Muslim society. Modesty, simplicity. Modesty, simplicity. And what is found in the opposite? Immorality and extravagance. These are two words, but you'll find everything. We'll have an occasion, we'll have a function, we'll have a get-together, we'll have a wedding, but make sure it's simple, make sure it's modest. And elsewhere, it has to be elaborate and it has to be immoral. This is it. These are the key lines. Measure your functions by these two denominators. This is how you will gauge. This is how you will ascertain if it is Sharia compliant, if it is on board. وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. The second thing about these people are, when they become angry, they forgive. Again, the Quran didn't say the pious are those who didn't become angry. Look at the beauty of the Quran. It's human to become angry. I told you, somebody, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, مَنِ اسْتُغْذِبَ فَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ فَهُوَ حِمَارٌ. Whoever was provoked and he did not become angry is a donkey. Imam Shafi said it blatant. He said it crudely. But that's the reality. مَنِ اسْتُغْذِبَ فَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ فَهُوَ حِمَارٌ. That is why somebody asked for advice. He said, don't become angry. He said, no, I don't become angry. Others make me angry. I don't ever become angry. Alhamdulillah, me. He said, you don't have tawakkul. He said, my brother, I have a lot of tawakkul, but the guy by the garage, when I fill petrol, he doesn't have tawakkul. He wants money. Me, I got tawakkul, but when I go to the supermarket, that guy doesn't have tawakkul. He wants money. Me, alhamdulillah, I got tawakkul. مَنِ اسْتُغْذِبَ فَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ. The one who's provoked and doesn't become angry is, وَمَنِ اسْتُرْضِيَ فَلَمْ يَرْضَ فَهُوَ شَيْطَانٌ. But in the same breath, Imam Shafi said, and the one whose apology has been sought, and he doesn't accept an apology, he's the devil himself. So, to forgive. The other day I was listening to a program on one of the radio stations. They were talking about the psychology when you're in anger and anger management. And you know, they were even sending Malema for it recently. So, this strategy, that strategy, and this is how you need to discipline yourself. The long and short of all that was said in flowery language, terminologies, flowery language, scientific, academic, what was it? Move into a more feeble position. Move into a weaker position. And I started tearing. I'm driving and tearing. I said, oh my Allah, give my Nabi the highest abode. And I just screamed out with durood. My Nabi said, if you stand in, sit. If you sit in, recline. And what was the whole psychology was, flowery language, academic. They'll give you a discourse, they'll give you a booklet, they'll print a nice thing, they'll put you a nice fee there also. And you say, hey, we did anger management. Anger management. Wow, that's awesome, my brother. What is it? Move into a feeble position. Move into a weaker position. So you're crippling yourself. You're restricting yourself to vent out, to throw out. Move away from that place. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, perform wudu. Perform wudu. Why? Because anger is from the fire and water extinguishes the fire. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two people are arguing. I know if they read one word, the argument will be ended. It will be nipped in the bud. But the devil won't allow them to read it. And that is, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Just say that at the time, but the devil won't. Because that's a blow to the devil. When you say, Shaitan, me, I'll show you, my friend. That bloats him even more. That's ammunition to him. That doesn't weaken him. But when you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, that reduces him to an ant. Remember that. When you say, me, I will show you. I will show you. Earlier this year, I mentioned that we went for Umrah. So then took the children to the Hajj sites. So we're standing at Mina. So, you know, nowadays, you know, everything happens. You go there, Allah give hidayah to one and all. Everything is, take a photo. So my wife is saying, look at these people. They're taking a photo of Shaitan. They literally went either innocently or not realizing it. They're standing by one pillar and posing. I mean, hang on. Hello. Is this something you're going to hold to say, I took a, hear me with the devil at Mina? You know, have we lost it that far? And literally they went from one jamara to the other jamara with a display and an act and a pose and a camera. Do you understand the connotations? Obviously it's symbolic, but those were the locations where the devil literally came personified in a human form. And he came and he attacked and he tried to give negativity. Because a cross was where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was going to slaughter Ismail. And he came and he made multiple attempts to dissuade him from this endeavor of Dazir. And you suddenly want to pride yourself by that which we ought to pelt. Where has this ummah lost it? And then I'm coming back from Umrah, mashallah, from the Mubarak lands. Mubarak lands? What Mubarak lands are we returning from? That is why one brother said to me such a nice thing. And I had to give a talk there in Medina to quite of the South Africans and others. And I said it to them. He said, Sukkanul Madinati Kathir, walakin Ahlul Madinati Qaleel. Sukkanul Madinati Kathir. وَلَكِنْ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ كَثِيرٌ بِقَلِيلٌ. He said, the residents of Medina are many, but the people of Medina are few. The residents of Medina are many. Imam Malik has based his fiqh on the action of the people of Medina. When he couldn't reconcile between two apparent contradicting narrations, then he would resort to the action of the people of Medina. And he said, they will decide which narration I will prioritize because they watched my Nabi the closest. The people of Medina were the basis for the formation of the fiqh of Imam Malik. Hence he said, Sukkanul Madinati Kathir. Are you a resident of Medina or are you the people of Medina? Allah make us amongst the people of Medina. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Those who respond to the call of Allah, and thereafter the name by virtue of which the chapter has been titled, and that is mutual consultation. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. They resolve their matters mutually with mashwara. This is a very integral part of our deen. It's a very important article of our faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had based his things on mashwara, and we know the many, many etiquettes and adab and virtue of mashwara. One, two important things that we can quickly run through. You know, we can't just call up a crisis meeting and call it a mashwara, where we conform with the norms of a conventional meeting, but we call it a mashwara. So it's a boardroom meeting. The style, the ambience, the layout, the flavor is all boardroom style. But we're having a mashwara. This is plain with terminology. Mashwara is humble, is simple. We turn to Allah, we read the dua. Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli. Allahumma alhimni marashida umuri. Wa a'idhni min shururi anfusi. Everyone sitting there are reciting this dua. Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli. Oh Allah, you choose and select for me. Allah, you inspire the correct decision. And let me not be motivated by my ego when making my opinion. Let me not be motivated by my ego. Now those are the du'as. Those are the du'as that we ought to read. Then we sit together. Many people have this argument. You know, the thing is, if I make mashwara with my wife and my children, it will take me 1 hour to explain to them the problem. Right? After 1 hour, they're going to understand. Then I'm going to ask them for the input. If I ask them for the input, they're not going to understand the whole thing. So the dilemma I face is I have to deal with people who don't appreciate the dynamics and the mechanics of my situation. Remember, Allah instructed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make mashwara. And whoever he consulted with was junior to him. because he in the creation was the greatest. Yet he said, I have two people with whom I advise on the earth. These are my ministers, these are my advisors. And I have two in the heavens and I advise with them as well. مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا وَلَهُ وَزِيرَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ وَوَزِيرَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَأَمَّا وَزِيرَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ وَأَمَّا وَزِيرَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ فَجِبْرِيلُ وَمِيكَائِيلُ. My advisors on this earth is Abu Bakr and Umar. And my advisors in the heavens is Jibreel and Mikael. And the ulama say, in the absence of one, two, it's correct to sit one down and take a decision. And that's what did the Prophet ﷺ do? Look at how the scholars dissect. This is the amazing part of our deen in its depth. It's not shallow. There's depth in our deen. When the Prophet ﷺ was in his fatal illness, and then Malakul Maut came to the door. And he said, oh Muhammad ﷺ, I've come and I've also have an angel by the name of Ismail. Bayhaqi has the narration. Bayhaqi has it. It's in Mishkat Sharif in the second volume. One of my students heard one of my lectures in Maputo and he quoted it. And then the other day he phoned me and said, I quoted this and I need the reference. So I sent it to him immediately. He was very appreciative of it. It's in Mishkat Sharif in the second volume with reference to Bayhaqi. Anyway, Malakul Maut comes. He said, today I have a guest with me. His name is Ismail, an angel. He hasn't come before. If you allow, he could be ushered in. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, bring him in. And then he said, O Nabi of Allah, how are you feeling? Jibreel asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am not feeling well. So then Malakul Maut spoke to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Jibreel is present. Malakul Maut is present. Ismail the angel is present. Can you imagine these that sensitive moment? O Nabi of Allah, I have been instructed to remove your soul. And I've equally been told to respect your choice. So if you consent, I will have to muster the courage to do something that's not going to be easy for me. I will then remove the soul. And if you say I got to hang on, I will respect and back off. And then when you do say, then I will remove your soul. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, will you do this? He said, accordingly, hakadha umirtu, these are my injunctions. So there was a moment of silence. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then looked at Jibreel and the gesture was consultation. The gesture was consultation. This is the Sharih Hadith, the commentators of the Hadith, right? And the ulama deduce at this juncture, the critical moment, from his heavenly ministers, both were not present, only Jibreel was there, but he didn't stall the mashwara, he made the mashwara. So one is aboard. Nowadays, you know, we can teleconference and we can get them on board. Someone is there on BBM, a real international chat. So one is sitting here, one is sitting there, and we are chatting. This is a real international chat. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then looked at Jibreel. Jibreel said, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if the gesture is consultation, my polite sentiments are, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. Allah is passionate to see you back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then teared and he said, what would happen to my ummah? And Jibreel said, on behalf of Allah, conveying the sentiments that Allah said, we will not displease you with regards to your ummah. And the angel went forward and the soul of the greatest human that ever came on earth was removed. The point of reflection here is consultation. So we need to make mashwara. Another thing in mashwara, there is an etiquette. Right? What's your opinion? Whatever you say. Of course, what I say is going to happen, but I'm asking you, what's your opinion? Whatever you say. They don't take our opinions. Not nice to say. You see, this is our attitude. Somebody comes to your house, I'm full. No, eat. I'm full, eat. Now he respects it. Hey, those guys put away. What a munafiq. You impose. The man respects the imposition. He doesn't want to offend you. And then you have the audacity to turn around and he say, hey man, ulama have an appetite. What's this hypocrisy? You impose, he respects, and then you accuse. This is not the teachings. So the Quran teaches us the etiquettes. The queen of Saba, she was a very intelligent woman. Make no mistake, the Quran said, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. She was from an evil nation, and that barred her from the truth. But when she seen the colors of Sulaiman, she came forward and she embraced the faith. When she received the letter of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and she was between a rock and a hard place, she couldn't identify, is this one of the tyrants of the time, or is this man a prophet? And you know what? He's genuine. Sulaiman was very brief in his letter. إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانِ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. A note from Sulaiman, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, Allah ta'alu alayya. If I may make literal, simple translation, loose translation, don't mess with me. Allah ta'alu alayya, don't mess with me. Ala ya'alu, don't try and elevate yourself. Don't try and excel over me. Wa'atuni muslimin, and submit and surrender and come quickly. That's it. So she immediately calls up an urgent meeting. This year, my ustad used to tell us, teaches us the etiquettes of mashwara. قالت يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في أمري. She gathers all the ministers and said, I need your people's input. ما كنت قاطعة أمرا حتى تشهدون. As the head of the gathering, this is an etiquette. Sometimes what we do is, we've got a concluded decision, we just want to bounce it off everyone. So we call that a mashwara. So it's pre-decided and everything. Listen, what you people feel? No, really. Okay, I feel this. No, you don't feel, you felt it long time. You long time felt it, my friend, and for all I care, you executed it, or you have measures in place to execute it. And you know what? Look here, it was with mutual understanding. Alhamdulillah, you know, there was no real objection and everything. No. There was a meeting taking place. And it was in the time of Sahaba Tabi'in. So one person was present. I heard this from one of my teachers. May Allah reward him. By Allah, I say this, we have to keep ourselves connected to our scholars. We have to keep ourselves connected to be aligned. Otherwise, we will be a victim of our own thoughts and our own ideas. So anyway, it was a prominent gathering, and there was a very prominent person. They're very quiet. So he asked his opinion, you're not speaking. He said, صدق خفتكم إن صدقت وخفت الله إن كذبت. خفتكم إن صدقت وخفت الله إن كذبت. Why aren't you speaking? He said, I am afraid of you if I speak the truth, and I'm afraid of Allah if I speak a lie. If I say the truth, I'm afraid of you. My job will go, my honor will go. What dirty language. I can't talk. So that's not a mashwara. That's not a mashwara. Where somebody gives a view, it is taken as an opposition. He's challenging me. He's antagonizing me. We can stand up with the hands and shake our hands and respect to differ. What did he say? He said, why are you not speaking? He said, I'm afraid of you if I speak the truth. I'm afraid of you. Ask an employer with his employee if you can have a mashwara. No, boss, you're right. 100%. Exactly. We shouldn't be asking 13 checks. These things here, our business is not doing well. But please, you do leave for a holiday tomorrow. That's important. You need it. You overworked and you really need this break. Yeah, 100%. That's important. You've got to save your marriage and cement your relation. I'm afraid of you if I speak the truth, and I'm afraid of Allah if I speak a lie. That is why I often say, what the pious said before, in their respective times, it didn't make so much sense at that time as how much sense it makes today. Their words are more apt today than they were in the time they said it. I sometimes wonder how Allah made them say it at that time, because the atmosphere was relatively so much better, but those words are so much more true and honest and hard-hitting and direct to the point today. So what did they say when she said, I will not make a decision till you're not party to this mashwara. Now you pre-decided and then you consulted, you're calling it consultation. And I'm afraid it is happening in the best of places, in the best of organizations. It's just not happening in corporate sectors across the board. We'll end on this here. I was going to discuss another 5 things, but I see an hour has lapsed. We'll wrap up on that note. Time is against us. So what did they say? نحن أولو قوة وأولو بأس شديد والأمر إليك فانظري ماذا تأمرين. Listen, we are people of might and strength. And we are militant and we have the artillery. If you want to engage Sulaiman in battle, don't twitch your eye. From our side, we're ready. But the call is yours. So they put forward their willingness to the option of battle, but they didn't impose the option. And this is it. I feel this year, but I'm game for both and I'm available to both. I'm amenable to all options. My personal choice is this year, but I'm easy with all the options. That is the nature of mashwara. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما ندم من استشار, the one who makes mashwara will never regret. So وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend from the wealth that Allah has given them. I have said this year, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorts us to spend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term, they spend from my money. It's the height of maizin if you maizin someone else's money. You know, sometimes father calls, you boys are here, oh, okay, come take this 200. Okay, go, catch it out, go. So then suddenly he becomes Mr. Goody and he's now, no, 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 you can't eat this here, you'll get sick. Hey, hang on, hang on, hang on. You know what? You were deputed. This is not your money. The uncle gave it. Now he's now, we'll spend 40 rand now, 20 rand tomorrow. Oh, your real budget, man. He's on a real tight budget here. Are you running the finance or what here? That is the height. You can't spend from others' money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in every place says, spend, but it's mine. But anyway, I'll reward you. Spend, it's mine, but I'll reward you. I'll reward you. And zakat, because it's relevant to Ramadan. The Quran refers to zakat as ma'un. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ Ma'un means trivial kindness. Trivial, simple, basic, easy going. And the Mufassirin say that unanimously Ibn Abbas and his likes, radiyallahu anhuma, says the reference in this ayah is to zakat. The literal translation of ma'un is the common kindness to neighbor. You know, run across and ask Auntie Aisha for an egg or borrow a liter of milk or, you know, give this here or pass that over. That common kindness, that's the literal translation of ma'un. But the implications are zakat. And why has zakat been referred to as trivial kindness? Because really speaking, in relation to financial position, zakat is a trivial kindness. It's a trivial kindness. Speak to people from other faiths and other denominations. Many of them have to give 10% of their monthly income to their places of worship. I met with a revert, and the thing that really stimulated him to Islam was this year. He said, I've been giving, and you know, and no accountability. I've been pushing in the church and giving and giving and giving and 10%. And here it's 2.5%. And I often say to the people, we should be so happy that we are amongst those who wait for Ramadan to discharge zakat and not receive zakat. There are others that are waiting Ramadan, I'll get an hamper. Allah has made us amongst those that give. So wallah, when we give, we must give with the happiest heart. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum, wa mimma akhrajna lakum min al-ard, wa la tayammamu al-khabitha, minhu tunfiquna, wa lastum bi akhidhihi illa an tughmidhu fi. On that note, we'll conclude. Oh, you who believe, spend from the purest of your income. I don't need anything. I'm being kind enough to accept. Have the courtesy of giving the best. In Arabic, they say, there are two types. There are two types. I'm saying I'm ending from when. There are two types. One is you give someone ala sabil al-ikram. And one is ala sabil al-haja. This is a very fine point. And I heard this from one of my scholars. May Allah reward him. One is you feed a person. Listen to this etiquette. When he told me, I kissed him. I kissed him and I hugged him and I said, may Allah reward you for what you've imparted to me. May Allah give you the best of both the worlds. Because the wisdom they give us. Now when I was in Sri Lanka, so I had a program, one brother came out there. He said, came, he hugged me, he kissed me. He said, may Allah reward you. You taught me so much. Attending this program was free. I attended some motivational speaker. I had to pay $200. I don't know what I learned. If you ask me what I learned, I really don't know what I don't know what he was saying. And I came here, it was free, it was available. I sat, I came closer to my Allah and understood so much. He teared, he hugged me and he made a dua. I said, may Allah be pleased with you and may Allah accept it, you know, it's his kindness. The scholars tell us, and that's what I heard from my teachers, that there are two types of people that you feed. One is you feed in out of need. When you feed in a person out of need, then it's correct for you to dictate the situation. Listen, you come Sunday, you come at 12 o'clock, you come with your container, he needs it. And you have the right to make the conditions. And one is a person who's doing you a favor by coming to your house. He dictates the conditions to you. When we invite in someone at our nikah and our walima, these are not people that are hungry. Maybe if they don't come here, they'll eat better food. Because they'll get personal attention. When they come in, they're getting cold food and 300 people mess. You know how it is. It doesn't happen all the good. You know? Oh, mashallah, very good. So it is cold, man. Now, all Allah shukr, at tops. Chow, solid. Good cook. I need the number. Power. You're not feeding out of need. Now, if you feed and you impose, you've defeated it completely. Because this, the first man, you've done him a favor. The second man has done you a favor. Remember that. It'am ala sabil ikram and it'am ala sabil al-haja. When it is it'am and you feed in and the man is desperate, you make the conditions. But when the man is not desperate, you respect his conditions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I don't need anything. I'm being kind to accept it. Have the courtesy of giving the best. Respect what I say. Give me out of the pure. Out of my kindness, I'll accept it and reward you. I need nothing. When we're giving Allah, we're not giving someone who needs. Allah needs nothing. It's been kind on him. It's been kind. I give this simple example. You take your children and you buy them a candy and you buy them a sweet. And then you say, who's giving daddy? Oh, mine's is finished. Mine's got lost. Oh, I don't know where's mine's. And the one says, Abu, here's it. Oh, Jazakallah, my baby. You made me happy. What are you going to give me? I gave you what you have. But I didn't want to buy it for myself. I said, all right, let me just take it from you. But what you did is you won the confidence of my heart. You won the confidence of my heart. Allah doesn't need anything. Allah said, neither the animal, nor the blood, nor the meat, nor the money reaches me. But the spirit of compliance comes and knocks my arsh. The spirit of compliance. My Allah is a beggar. My Allah, here's my money. It's not mine, it's my Lord, it's yours. How happy, how willing, how forward, how compliant. That is what comes to my Allah. Am I reluctant? Am I heavy hearted? Am I pulling back? Am I finding it tough? Then you've lost the essence. Allah inspire us all. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.